magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 15th, 2019, and you're in for a special blessing. I think maybe a threefold blessing, Marianne. They're going to hear from one of our content contributors in this month's edition, the May edition of the Prime Life Times. But this is somebody that's been given of his time, his talents, his energies, writing for a number of editions. In this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, his theme is forgiveness allows the deepest healing. And so we're going to talk about forgiveness and what it means to forgive and the healing that will take place and the five stages of recovery. So I think this is going to be a really helpful program for our listeners, Marianne, and for those that read the Prime Life Times paper. How did you get a hold of Matt initially? How did you determine or desire to have him be a content contributor?
He submitted this article, and it's very, very worthwhile. And then I would just love for him to read the article. Matt's a licensed professional clinical counselor. He writes a weekly blog. He's written three books. He's got a lot of experience, and his business is over there in Dayton. Is it New Reflections? Is that the name of it, Matt?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And I see he's got his bachelor's in computer science from the University of Illinois.
Let's,
go Illini.
Right.
Yeah. He went on to get his master's and so forth in counseling. But yes, I'd love for our listeners to hear this article.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mark and Marianne, for this opportunity to speak with the Great News Listening family. I'm going to talk today about forgiveness. Forgiveness allows the deepest healing. Relationships have the most potential for blessing, but also the most potential for pain. This is true especially in a close relationship. Because of the close proximity in such a relationship, you're likely to experience significant hurts and disappointments, as well as blessing. On the road to recovery from these negative emotions, which comes first, forgiveness or healing? You might think forgiveness comes first, but what if you're too traumatized to even consider your offender? If you think healing comes first, can you consider yourself healed while you're still holding on to bitterness? Though healing and forgiveness are two different processes, they are unavoidably linked together. You wouldn't preach forgiveness moments after a car accident that had resulted in severe physical injury. Why is it easier to expect forgiveness so quickly from an emotional wound? Often, you can't start, let alone complete, a forgiveness process without first receiving a significant dose of healing. Complete healing must include basic recovery, forgiveness, and deep healing. Basic recovery has nothing to do with the offender, but everything to do with our own basic need for security and safety. Where strength was taken, it must be restored. After we are stable, we can work at forgiveness so further healing isn't hindered. Then forgiveness opens the door, allowing deep healing. Basic recovery before forgiveness. A victim needs some amount of recovery before forgiveness is required. Experiencing loving care reassures us that we will make it through the pain, and it also gives us the strength to pursue forgiveness and deeper healing. Part of the basic recovery includes identifying the damage done. We can't fully forgive someone until we understand and face what we've lost. As we attend to basic recovery, we move our attention away from the offender in order to lessen anxiety. When we are strong enough, we can extend forgiveness and offer reconciliation as appropriate. Forgiveness before the deepest healing. In the recovery process, we should ask ourselves whether we are expecting the offender to provide the healing. No one, including our partner, and hold us back from a thriving recovery. Healing is ours for the taking. At some point in the healing process, refusing forgiveness is counterproductive. If we haven't forgiven completely, we cannot say we are completely healed because we remain in waiting for payment of a debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The longer forgiveness is incomplete, the more likely bitterness will take root. Who can say I'm healed while holding a grudge? Complete healing often means we end up stronger than we were before the trauma. The recovery process teaches us how to thrive. The five stages of recovery. Recovering from emotional trauma is not much different than recovering from physical trauma. I've divided recovery into five stages. After an accident, we experience shock and the need to stabilize. That's stage one. We work to accept and recover from our losses. That's stages two to three. And we figure out how to return to our best productive functioning. That's stages four to five. Stage one involves the first response to your trauma. The goal is to stabilize and prevent further decline and or death. You can expect to feel incapacitating emotional pain, shock, and numbness, as well as confusion and denial about what's happened. You'll be distracted and unable to be fully present in your day-to-day life. Due to the severity of your hurt, you have no choice but to accept help. At this stage, you can't be expected to be productive or invest in forgiving. Stage 2 is similar to being in a hospital room after surgery. The goal is to identify and accept the impact of the trauma. You can expect to increasingly be able to understand the repercussions of what has happened. This will frequently result in an unhealthy resistance to healing and recovery assistance. You can take on a negative attitude, believing that nothing good can come from this. As such, you could have a high potential for irrational behavior, such as suicide or other self-sabotaging actions. Stage 3 marks the beginning of productive recovery. The goal is to maintain motivation for a positive recovery. You'll increasingly be able to accept your new reality, one that requires overcoming significant obstacles. You will gain a strong appreciation for the ways others can help, although you might be overwhelmed by negative perspectives on what's happened. You can conclude that better days are ahead, but you must fight vigorously to maintain your determination to recover. Your motivation to heal will transition from minimal to maximum. Stage 4 marks the return to normal functioning. The goal is to function at levels of productivity similar to those before the trauma. You will achieve stability, consistency, and the willingness to trust again. Your attitude will become confident about the future. Even though this stage is positive, you can still experience an occasional setback from a bad day. The potential for relapse increases if you're not careful to maintain self-awareness. Stage 5 is a unique opportunity to transform the tragedy into a blessing that propels you forward farther than you've ever been. The goal is to function at an all-time high and prevent relapse. You'll have a healthy understanding of your limitations and capabilities. Your mood will be grateful and thankful. Because of your journey from helpless to healed, you'll be able to care for others in similar situations. Following are some questions for you to consider as you wrestle with trying to forgive while you're recovering. Are you trying to forgive before you've properly regained your strength? Are you claiming to be fully healed, yet still harboring bitterness toward your offender? Familiarize yourself with the 5 stages so you can set realistic expectations whenever you experience emotional trauma.
You know, I had to really restrain myself, Matt. I wanted to jump in at so many different points for clarity's sake or just to say, let's talk about that now. But I felt like for our listeners to hear the whole context of your story and how you set up these 5 stages of recovery, and I didn't want to derail your reading through this. But, wow, what a very interesting article, a helpful article for all of us. What was the catalyst behind you choosing this topic and writing on this?
I wrote my book, Marriage from Roots to Fruits, and forgiveness is a key component in work in a relationship. So it comes up a lot in my marriage counseling.
Oh, I can believe it. You know, I've never heard, maybe other people have, but until I read your article, I've actually never heard emotional trauma and the recovery from it put in the same kind of comparison to the recovery from physical trauma. And I just thought that was really interesting. I don't know if that's your own original idea or if it's other places, but I really gained from that.
Yeah, it's really helpful for my clients to think about it as if something real had happened to them.
Yeah,
because
it is real.
Trauma can be nebulous or like, well, that should just be able to, that should be easy to get over. But it's actually something real that's happened to somebody.
Yeah, because you really put the idea of forgiveness, you couch it in the paradigm of the individual's recovery, and I just like that.
Yeah, as I thought about it too, as I read even, forgiveness and healing are mixed together, so that you can't really have one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like how you began the article. What comes first? Do you forgive first and then healing takes place? Or does healing take place or have to take place so that
yeah.
you can learn to forgive?
Yeah.
And it was informative and then it got you thinking about,
yeah,
that's right. It's not just suddenly you can just forgive and everything will be healed up, or wait till you get healed up to finally
right.
get around to forgiving, because maybe you're not going to get healed until you learn to forgive. So,
good article, Matt. It's thought-provoking.
Thank you.
So tell us a little about your counseling business, what you do, what all went on after you left this great University of Illinois.
Well, I became a Christian in college while I was working on my computer science degree. So I have a technical background, but as God touched me and I was a believer, my desire to share God's truth with others grew. Then a couple of years after graduating, I was back in the Midwest, back in Ohio, pursuing a master's degree in clinical pastoral counseling.
Now, was there an individual? Was it a series of events? Was it a parachurch organization or God's Word being preached on Sunday? What was some of that catalyst for you to turn to God and recognize a need for Him to follow Jesus and to find your own healing and forgiveness?
Well, as a teenager, I like to ask a lot of questions. I'm kind of an intellectual guy. I like thinking about abstract ideas and discussing those. And I had all kinds of questions for my parents that carried me through my teenage years and into college. And I started asking some of my peers those same kind of questions. You know, what's the meaning of life? How did we get here? I really wanted to understand the whole sense of what life was all about.
Wow. And so did that propel you into, how did that propel you into this field that you've been in now for many years?
Yeah, I've been providing counseling for, at least in my practice, for over 16 years now.
Wow. And what, I have to ask you, what caused you to name it New Reflections? I was interested.
Oh, well, yeah, there's a couple of different meanings for that. One is what I've kind of already referenced about being intellectual. It's like a new reflection, you're thinking your thoughts. But it's also a new reflection as in a new identity and a new way to look at yourself.
And back to, was it an individual? Was it a parachurch organization? Who were those that were involved in helping you on that faith journey?
Well, when I first became a Christian, like I said, I had a lot of those questions, and I was having a not-so-good day. I was talking with some of my friends, and they weren't too available. And I worked my way into my job, where I was doing some research programming at the time. And I met up with a coworker who happened to be there on a Saturday night, too, which was a coincidence, or, you know, it was a God thing, really, in hindsight. And as we started talking, it was in those moments that God enabled me to believe and have more of a intuitive sense of those answers to my questions rather than just a factual sense of life.
And I ask that because there's probably some people that are going to work today that might not think much about their testimony or sharing their faith or talking about spiritual things, and yet that was who God used in your life, was a workmate, an associate that had some answers, that was already following Jesus. Or did they have an appeal to you? Like, did they look like they had it together and that was intriguing to you, or just were they pretty smart and answered some of those philosophical questions that you were maybe wrestling with?
He didn't actually have the specific answers to those questions, but it was more general sense of he knew the Bible. He had answers from the scriptures that connected me in that moment. Maybe it's because we're both computer guys or something, but it just clicked in that moment.
That's great.
But he was obviously a, it was clear that he was a genuine believer.
It was the real deal, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested, you know, you've been in this field for, did you say 16 years?
Yeah.
What do you consider, like, your biggest rewards? What do you continue to find rewarding in this counseling field, Christian counseling?
Yeah, the number one reward is really being able to see God working in the lives of His people, and I get a front row seat to that.
Yeah, I
get to see God's kingdom advancing one life at a time. There's really no greater feeling than to see that.
In case you just tuned in, you're hearing from Matt Pavlik. He's a licensed professional clinical counselor. In fact, if you hope to connect with him after this program, he isn't local, though he had gotten a degree here at the University of Illinois, but he lives in Ohio. He has a practice. It's called New Reflections. And Matt, we appreciate you submitting this month's story called Forgiveness Allows the Deepest Healing. If you just came into this program and you missed the first 15 minutes, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, or better yet, you can pick it up at almost 300 area locations. It's the May edition of the Prime Life Times. And Matt, what got you writing? Is that a part of your interest or skills? You like to write and record different thoughts and stories?
Well, I started writing, thinking about my books maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was really an attempt to capture what God was doing, I guess, somewhat in my life, but also in the lives of my clients, you know, because I'll be in a session and God is working through me, and I'll come up with some ideas that I didn't necessarily know at the time, but they just came out based on what the client in front of me is really needing. So I started to write some of those ideas down, and I started working on the marriage book that I have. Although I gave up after a couple of years and let it go, and then a couple of years later I picked it up again, and then I let it go for another year. And then finally in 2015 I said, I'm going to finish it this time. So I started in on it and really put it all together into the 52 lessons that are in the book.
Wow. Now, you have a weekly blog as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started that some years ago, too. I kind of did the same thing, I suppose. For a few years, I wrote somewhat consistently, and then I didn't for a while. Maybe mm-hmm. that was while I was writing my books. But yeah. Then the last year, I've committed to writing a weekly post. So I've got that about a year's worth out there now.
I love the name of this marriage book, Marriage from Roots to Fruits.
Yeah, that's a cool name.
It's just classic. And then maybe give us a snapshot in your two other books, To Identify and Beyond, and then Confident Identity. If somebody was interested in these books, how could they pick up a copy or purchase it online? Where would you direct them?
Well, the book I wrote after Marriage from Roots to Fruits was Confident Identity, and I wrote that as a workbook, similar to the Marriage from Roots to Fruits. Both of those are workbooks. And the Confident Identity was to give people an understanding of identity as God defines it and has given it to us. And there's also exercises in the middle to help a person understand who they are, like their personality and spiritual gifting. And by the end of that middle section, they write an identity statement of who they are. And then for the third book, it's True Identity and Beyond. And I wrote that one. It was kind of actually a thought to go back to the beginning and write a more basic book of identity and purpose. And in that book, I really link together that if we know our identity, we're going to know our purpose, because our purpose flows out of our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, from a Christian perspective, our identity in Christ, you know, as adopted, beloved children of His?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And they're available on your website, or where do people go?
They're primarily available on Amazon.com, but they're also available anywhere books are sold.
Oh, great. I love that phrase, anywhere books are sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Very good. So, and the blog, what is the website that you... What's the address for people?
Yeah, my blog is ChristianConcepts.com. I picked that name because it has Christian ideas and has concepts. Like I said earlier, I like to think abstractly sometimes. But I write it about identity and emotional healing, so those two ideas. And it's not like it's all in the cloud or abstract ideas. I write practically, too. But I start with the concepts, the big picture ideas, and then give practical exercises, too.
And so they would just search ChristianConcepts.com, ChristianConcepts.com?
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
Oh, great. Well, in our closing, like half a minute, is there something that most people don't know about you, maybe a hobby or a characteristic or a favorite story or something to let them know another side of Matt?
Yeah, sure. I was thinking about, I like to play chess.
I can believe that. These intellectual people, they love chess. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I don't get to play it that much anymore. I do occasionally, a few times a year or so. But I remember playing as a learning around 8 or 9 years old, and then at 10 years old, I entered a tournament at the Champaign Public Library.
Oh.
Yeah, and I won that tournament.
How fun.
So that was a fond memory, although I didn't really do anything with chess after that.
Do any of your kids like chess?
I've tried to teach them, but so far it seems like too much work for them.
Do you have 3 or 4 kids?
I have 4 kids.
Four kids, okay.
Well, thank you, Matt, for sharing this great story in the May edition of the Prime Life Times. It's actually on section A4, Forgiveness Allows the Deepest Healing. And thank you for your work bringing healing and hope to those that you get to counsel and talk and share with. And appreciate you submitting articles and being a part of our Prime Life Times. And hope the very best. And we'll ask our listeners in the day ahead as they maybe read this article or contact you or read and request one of your books, that they'll be praying up you and your family, and many blessings as God works in and through you. As you had mentioned, that sometimes he gives you ideas or thoughts or concepts as you're counseling and bringing hope to others. So thank you for your work and your ministry.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. And for those, everyone that's listening out there, I pray a blessing over you right now, that you'll know your identity as God's given it to you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Amen. And all of God's people said, Marianne,
amen.
Look for Matt's article in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times. It's titled, Forgiveness Allows the Deepest Healing.
All right.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, with Matt's story and sharing on forgiveness and healing, I thought I'd close out with a special song that addresses these concepts. It's titled Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone by Chris Tomlin. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.